Finding a Tax Paradise.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A Senate panel says some wealthy Americans are stashing trillions of dollars in offshore tax havens. The Senate looked into this problem for a year and holds a hearing on it today. People are using countries like Belize, the Cayman Islands, and Panama to keep money away from the IRS. The Senate's report says Americans are using these havens to avoid paying $40 to $70 billion in taxes a year. The morning after pill still isn't available over the counter, but yesterday the FDA said it might allow the over-counter sales of Plan B, as the pill is called. Ashley Milne-Tite looks at what this could do for the company that makes the pill.
Plan B is already available via prescription. It brings in about $20 million a year for drug maker Bar Pharmaceuticals. With 3 million unplanned pregnancies a year, there are plenty of potential buyers should the drug become more widely available. Bridget Bailing is with the TAN Sheet, which covers the world of non-prescription drugs.
I think it remains to be seen how much of a marketing effort they put behind it, because as of right now, the company hasn't done a whole lot to promote the drug, and everything that you've heard about it has been in the news.
Morningstar analyst Brian Legler says over-the-counter sales of Plan B could more than double its revenue, but that won't do much to fire up investors.
I think that somewhere around $50 million is probably reasonable. It's an exciting development for the company, but I don't think it'll have a huge material impact on the share price.
Legler says compared to some of the company's other drug lines, Plan B is a rather small player. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
I will admit it, I was part of the MTV generation. I can still remember the first video that came on. I can't believe it, but that was 25 years ago today. Don't expect MTV to make a big deal about it, though. Jeff Tyler explains.
Oh, oh. If you're old enough to remember this song,
video killed the radio star.
You're too old for MTV's advertisers. USC professor David Stewart says what the network markets best is newness.
The next trend, the next fad, the next popular icon. And I think that's really been an important element of their success, is the ability to get out in front of the curve, to always be seen as kind of leading the next wave.
He says youth is no longer the holy grail for all ad executives. The 25 to 45-year-old demographic spends the most money per person, and the baby boomer generation has proven too large and too lucrative to ignore. MTV still attracts young, impressionable minds, but analysts expect the internet will increasingly lure kids away. So now MySpace could kill the music video star. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Gas prices are making people look for any way to save a buck. The latest idea? Putting nitrogen in your tires. NASCAR drivers do it. It's supposed to give you better gas mileage, maybe a mile, mile and a half extra to the gallon. But it costs $2 to $5 per tire, so I'm not sure the math is working out too well. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 34 points, a third of a percent, to 11,185, and the NASDAQ dropped 2, that's a tenth of a percent, to 2091. This is Marketplace. Later this week, President Bush will spend some time at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, and he'll have a new neighbor, war protester Cindy Sheehan. Scott Tong explains why this is a big deal in Crawford.
Sheehan paid $52,000 for a five-acre plot of land in Crawford. She used proceeds from her son Casey's military life insurance payout. He died in Iraq 2 years ago. The new space for protesters is five times bigger than last year's. There's more parking and there are trees.
There'll be shade that they didn't have out at the other site. And in Texas, that's very important in August.
That's Crawford peace activist Kay Lucas. Now, Sheehan did not purchase the land directly. A friend bought it for her.
Probably no one would have sold Cindy Sheehan some property. People in Crawford are very protective of George Bush.
Last year's protest site was no longer an option. The owner of that land reportedly had a tiff with Sheehan over liability insurance on the property. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know, now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Gold is really expensive right now. This morning it costs $632 an ounce. If we lived in the 17th century, there might be alchemists all over the world trying to capitalize on this. They thought you could turn lead into gold. Today, alchemy is pretty much a dead science, but there are still a few people who are giving it some respect. Aris Keck has our story.
In the 16th century, alchemy was all the rage. But these days, only about 100 people in the world study it, and most of them are drinking coffee and nibbling on muffins in a small Philadelphia conference room.
I think almost everybody is here.
Brigitte van Tiglin is with the Université Catholique de Louvain. She's one of the attendees at the first alchemical conference being held in 20 years.
For most people, doing history of alchemy seems to be weird. But those laboratories are really the core of experimental science.
People like van Tiglin aren't spinning straw into gold. They're shedding light on a time when science, religion, superstition, and mysticism were all one big gloppy mess.
There's always going to be some hocus-pocus science fiction, and it's part of the lure.
Robert Hicks is a historian at the Chemical Heritage Foundation in Philadelphia, which is hosting the conference. Hicks says there's a newfound interest in alchemy because scientists are no longer afraid of its more mystical aspects. Back in the day, Hicks says some perfectly respectable scientists, like Sir Isaac Newton, dabbled in alchemy. Of course, no one struck gold, and as science marched on, the alchemists became the outsiders. Upstairs from the conference room, Foundation spokesman Neil Gussman shows off the group's collection of alchemical art.
They were a sort of morality tale hanging in your living room.
In the late 17th century, paintings of alchemists were a must-have for Northern Europe's new middle class. Most are lurid depictions of crazed, bedraggled men covered in soot from laboratory explosions. Gussman says they were used as cautionary tales.
You don't want to be the sort of person who tries to find gold without earning it like a good middle class person would.
The Enlightenment did like to pick alchemy out as, you know, the practice of quacks and charlatans and frauds. And this is what this sort of conference is trying to recover from in a way.
Peter Forshall studies intellectual history at the University of London. He says alchemy is having a renaissance because people now see it as a turning point in science.
It's true, alchemy is the search for turning lead into gold. But it taps in really to so many things, the history of science, the history of religion, general cultural history, intellectual history. It taps into a lot.
For 3 days, the alchemists attend lectures, sip cocktails, mingle, sip more cocktails, all devoted to transforming one of the ugly ducklings of science into a valuable field of study.
Cocktail party chatter. Do you think I have a life?
In Philadelphia, I'm Aris Keck for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
There's a new weapon in the American arsenal.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.